Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Mrs. Rebecca Hagstrom. School is now in session.
Am I brilliant? Well, good morning, everyone. This is Rebecca Hagstrom, and I am your host of Education Nation. And if you're joining us for the first time, we're happy to have you. I am excited to have with me again Pete Hegseth, who has been my loyal, wonderful co-host, a graduate of both Harvard and Princeton, and Fox News Channel contributor, who is just a pro, and so happy to have you with me as a co-host, Pete.
Well, far more importantly, a parent of two kids at Liberty Classical Academy, where Rebecca never properly introduces herself as the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, a fantastic school in White Bear Lake that does a great job educating the next generation, which as we watch just our politics play out in front of us, education is so critical, and Liberty does it right, and what we're going to discuss today are so many pitfalls and problems we're seeing in our education.
Exactly. And another person that we have in the studio with us today is Mrs. Kathy Smith. She is our curriculum director at Liberty Classical Academy and is also a teacher and has been teaching for what, Kathy?
Over 20 years.
That's what I thought. So this woman knows her stuff when it comes to curriculum. And so the reason why we brought her in with us today is because we've been discussing Common Core state standards. And we introduced this topic last week, Pete and I, and we talked about how it has swept the country, and even though there are some states that are trying to remove themselves from Common Core, it's kind of difficult to remove yourself from it because all the curriculums are now aligned with it. And so all the money has been spent, and it's kind of the trains out of the station at this point. But this week we want to drill down a little bit more into the specifics of Common Core and the specifics of the standards in the curriculum with respect to math especially. Mm-hmm. And then next week we're going to come back and address the English standards. And although Minnesota hasn't officially adopted the Minnesota State or the Common Core standards in math, what we're finding again is that because all the curriculums are aligned with it, we're seeing it in all the schools across the state. So I wanted to just mention, Kathy, before kind of we get you involved in this conversation, that Dr. James Milgram from Stanford University was on the validation committee and could not validate the Common Core math standards. He said they are process standards. They have no content to them. He said, you can't have process standards if you don't have the content to go with them. So, Kathy, I know you looked at them yourself. Yes. Tell me some of your thoughts about it.
Well, actually, you know, I'm just quite surprised as I've looked at the standards because as a teacher and as having worked with children, they're illogical, really. Mm-hmm. The idea about going going so deep on single things, it just doesn't make sense. So, for example, you know, they'll talk about a myth about that the standards will say that people say, well, key things are missing and that they actually aren't no coherent. And I have to tell you, I look at the kindergarten standards and I'm appalled. Mm-hmm. There's no calendar, there's no money, there's no fractions, there's no colors, no clocks, no patterns. I mean, all the things that are very foundational for a child to learn in order to have a strong math.
Hold on, you call the standards illogical, which if there's one place where I think I want a little bit of logic, it's in my math.
I agree.
You know, pretty straightforward stuff, it strikes me as oftentimes.
Absolutely. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, and one of the other things that Dr. Milgram has said about these standards is that there's really no research to support them, which I find interesting because if you go to the research or if you go to the Common Core State Standards website, they will say, oh, these are based in research. But he says, no, there is no research to support the standards. And he was on the validation committee, so he would know. And he says they actually don't even have the youngest children learning math facts. Okay, so for all of us who went to school sometime in the last 20 years, we won't say how far back, I think we all learned our addition facts, our math facts. We learned our multiplication tables, our division tables. And yet that is being thrown right out.
Absolutely. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
In favor of process?
Yep.
Yes. Which does not make any sense.
And decomposing.
And decomposing.
Yeah, no,
yes.
Folks are going to want to stick around for the second half of the hour because what's sitting in front of me as well, or this half hour, is examples of what this looks like. We're not going to talk about it right now, but when you talk about it being illogical, yes. I mean, about process, I think that's abstract for a lot of people. We're going to break it down after the, you know, about 50 minutes after the top of the hour and talk about those actual problems. And, Rebecca, we're talking today about standards and about math standards. If folks are interested in learning more about the basics of Common Core, I want to drive them to Liberty Classical Academy's website, also KLBB. There's podcasts of the previous seven episodes of this show.
Right.
Check them out because we tackled the basics of Common Core before today. Now we're diving into kind of what that really looks like within the standards.
Absolutely. And just because you're talking about that, I also want to point out to our listeners that this is a very complex issue. It's hard to break down because we did a couple shows on standardized testing. And that's very much tied to Common Core as well. And then all the data privacy issues that come along with Common Core. So it's like this big web that we're trying to untangle bit by bit with for our listeners to help them understand. But what I want our listeners to understand is it's really a big picture. It's like a tapestry that has been woven together that has really transformed our educational system. And we're actually going to be having a woman on that's going to speak next week, and she's very much involved with this, and I'll hit her up at the end of the show here.
It's a tapestry that it seems like we pulled out the basic foundation blocks out of, though. You know, I mean, that's where they're weaving this complex tapestry of process, as you talked about, Rebecca, but getting rid of the basic building blocks and the logic chain, whether it's math or other different types of coursework, and leaving kids unprepared.
Well, and that's the bottom line. In fact, that ties me into some other comments. We had an individual that's gone around speaking on this issue. His name is Duke Pesta. He's a former teacher who speaks all around the country on Common Core state standards. And he said, with Common Core, the abstract math concepts are taught to kids who haven't developed cognitively enough to understand them. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That is precisely what we do differently at Liberty. And we're going to talk about that at the end of the show today, too. We recognize the cognitive developmental stages that the kids are at, and we address our teaching to those stages. Whereas with Common Core, they aren't doing that at all. They're bringing abstract math into the lower school years. And another individual who's an expert on this, Stephen Wilson, who's a professor of math at Johns Hopkins, you know, he said the standard algorithm is absolutely the best way to teach kids how to do math. And that's, you know, the way we learned it.
Yeah.
2 + 2 = 4.
Old carry in the one.
Yes, the carry in the one, yes. Which we're going to find out a little bit later, no longer
I
is
know.
True. They don't want, in fact, they even have parent cheat sheets that say carry the one is the old way. It's the old way. And, and so,
I'm old.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things that this Stephen Wilson has asked us about is, or not asked, but he asks out loud, is he says, why does the educational establishment seem so bent on not using the standard algorithm? In fact, I love this. He's got this quote. He says, in other countries, if you say, learn to multiply whole numbers, no one questions how this should be done. Students should learn and understand the standard algorithm. But in the U.S., even if you say, learn to multiply whole numbers with the standard algorithm, some people will declare wiggle room and try to avoid the standard algorithm. Well, I'd say that's exactly what the Common Core state standards in math did.
Yep.
Completely avoid the standard algorithms.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, in my 20 years of teaching, bringing kids who have been taught that way into our program and teaching them the old way, as they say, the kids are so happy and thankful for us to free them from this burden of time. That takes to do these other processes when the old way skyscrapers were built with this.
What's the rationale for the new way, and their, how do they rationalize the preference for this process over, hey, let's teach you how to do math?
I think they think it's, you know, higher processing and therefore it looks better.
And that's possible. The thing that I look back at it again, if that's giving them credit.
If they really
think that it's higher processing, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're trying to establish critical thinking. But again, if that's the case, then they're not very informed about cognitive development.
Correct.
Because you don't do that with kids that are in lower school.
Nope.
And so it's hard to have a positive view honestly, mm-hmm. that they do have the good in mind of these kids. It's harder to believe that than it is to believe that there seems to be some type of a lowering of all of the thinking, because they know it's going to be so complex for the kids. And
well,
it really is so complex that they can't learn it.
We know what the road to hell is paved with.
Yeah.
It's a lot of good intentions probably from some people that don't have all the information they want. I feel like the old way is just old progress.
Right.
Means we need to try something different and strip away the past.
And hearkening back to our last show, we talked about who wrote these standards.
Right.
And these standards were written by a small number of people who did not have the math understanding. These were education people. They were not math. In fact, Milgram, who wouldn't validate the standards, was the only math professor that was that had a PhD in math, who actually had a degree in the subject of math, to even have the opportunity.
I've got an idea. Let's create math standards and not use any math.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Does that make any sense?
Or people who understand child development.
Yes.
And understand what works
thing.
With the child. Like I said, you can take a teacher from kindergarten and they will tell you, yes, a child can do this or absolutely not.
You know, you guys have Rebecca's woken my eyes up to this every Saturday morning at 10:30 on KLBB, which you should listen to, to what Liberty Classical Academy does with its stages, with its grammar stage and then logic stage and then rhetoric stage, which I didn't have memorized at first, but now I do.
Right.
But when you actually step back and remember grammar school, you know, elementary school used to be called grammar school, then logic and middle school and rhetoric, such fundamental building blocks that are tiered toward the way kids learn and what they understand have been stripped aside completely.
Yep.
For this process instead.
Yep, that's exactly right. And, you know, one of the other comments that I wanted to make that's related to this idea of is it really, do they have the good in mind?
Right.
One of the people that did actually write this math standards, Jason Zimba is his name. He was one of the lead writers for the math standards. He admits in an interview that is on videotape. Actually, it's with Sandra.
It's always better when it's on videotape.
Yep, it is on tape. He admits that the math standards are not rigorous and do not prepare students for STEM careers or a regular four-year college math. He admits that the college and career standards was a definition for a community college or a two-year degree, not a four-year institution. A minimal definition of college readiness. And in fact, we have another individual who looked at these standards that was from outside of the country. He's a non-American member of the validation committee who also couldn't sign off on these.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I cannot in all conscience endorse statements because the level of clarity and specificity comparable to the expectations of other leading nations, the standards are, in my view, much more detailed. And as Jim Milgram has pointed out, they are less demanding than the standards of the leading nations. Less demanding.
Is there a worse recipe than more detailed and less demanding?
Right.
Think about that.
Yes.
It's actually, you know, it's what technocrats and bureaucrats do so well. They create processes and details and different chains, but it's actually not better.
Right.
And the standards aren't higher.
Right. That's exactly right. And
it's
you mentioned
stuff.
That this is something that we see a lot with the whole liberal progressive movement. Lots of detail, but not a lot of true.
It's usually unaccountable bureaucrats or unaccountable technocrats that sort of try to perfect these processes, which are never perfectible because nothing in life is.
Right.
And but they're not connected to people actually affected by it.
Yeah.
And they're not accountable to them.
Right.
So these standards trickled all the way down to the classroom, and that teacher trying to teach the child is now teaching them babble, but they can't change it because the standards and the curriculum, all the things we've talked about before, are all
so
tied to it. And therefore nothing ever changes until there's a really mass understanding that something like Common Core is terrible, which is part of what Education Nation is trying to do.
Yes,
is pull back the curtain and wake people up and say, we all want the best for our kids.
Yeah.
You know, Rebecca, you chose Liberty Classical Academy and started it because you wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
We hope others choose it also.
Mm-hmm.
But wherever you send your kids to school, just be aware of what the implications are of things like Common Core.
Well, and actually, we had hoped to have a video clip or an audio clip today that unfortunately we weren't able to pull up. But this is a gentleman, it's with a gentleman that I met who actually has his child in a private school, I guess I don't need to say which one, that has also adopted Common Core.
Really?
Yes. And so this is something we're seeing particularly in the religious private school realms, the ones that are associated with particular denominations often have accepted Common Core. And I'm telling you, there was a fear factor out there when it first hit a few years ago. I remember having people coming to me and saying, you're going to have to adopt Common Core or the kids aren't going to be able to do well on the test. Well, we only give one standardized test per year, and and it's one little piece of the puzzle, as we've talked about before. It's not the story about a child. But we were not about to go down the path of adopting Common Core standards. But this gentleman has a child in kindergarten, and he was so frustrated because his little daughter or son came home with some math homework that didn't make any sense in kindergarten. And he had a friend that kind of alerted him to this whole thing, and he said, I looked at the work, and he said it was absolutely confusing. There was no way for him to understand what his little kindergartner was supposed to do.
It's incredibly frustrating, and a perfect segue, because we're going to take a quick break here for a quick minute break for a commercial. But when we come back, we're going to literally be doing the math. Kathy, you brought some pretty cool, powerful, sad, depressing examples of what common, you're going to depress everybody here. But they're powerful in really underscoring what it looks like when these unaccountable technocrats trickle their math standards down to the classroom and a kid's got to actually do the math. So we're going to take a quick break. Stick with us. All right, we are back. It's 10:48 here in the St. Croix River Valley on KLBB. I'm excited to be here joined again by Rebecca Hagstrom, headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, as well as one of the curriculum director and a teacher at the school, Kathy Smith. It is a, today is actually the first day of spring and there's snow on the ground, which is perfect.
Typical Minnesota.
Typical Minnesota. But we're back. We were talking the basics of Common Core. Now we're talking about actual what it looks like in its implementation, Rebecca.
That's right. Now we are going to move on to the fun part, or should I say the sad part, as we tackle some actual Common Core math problems. And we want to look at some of the what are supposed to be, you know, young children. We're talking about elementary school math problems here, some of them as young as even kindergarten. But I want you to stop and think about this. Let's say you're at home and, you know, pull out a piece of paper and get a pencil and see if you can follow me on this. All right. So we're going to do a problem that was on the Bonham show that shows exactly how this Common Core works. So we're going to do a problem that is 32 minus 12. And that
okay,
equals
32 minus 12. I got the answer. But
right.
I'm not
gonna say it. So the way we are supposed to solve this, the Common Core way,
serves me well.
I know the old math works.
The way we are supposed to do this, the new Common Core way, is to take 12 plus 3 equals 15. Then we're supposed to take 15 plus 5 equals 20. We're supposed to write all this down. 20 plus 10 equals 30, and then 30. Plus 2 equals 32. So you should now have 1, 2, 3, 4 additional problems sitting on your paper to solve the simple problem 32 minus 12. And then what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to circle all those add-ons. So the 3, the 5, the 10, and the 2. And you're supposed to write those all out. 3 plus 5 plus 10 plus 2 equals 20. So in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps now, we have solved the problem 32 minus 12 equals 20.
You know, we have the benefit of looking at it written, which even is even more insane, but I'm sure people at home are listening to that. You just heard 5 addition problems to solve a subtraction.
One subtraction problem.
A really easy
subtraction.
It took you
a second to do it.
Yeah.
It took about 2 minutes to go through.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yep. Here's another one. Try this one. 5 times 3.
Done.
Right. Are you sure, Pete?
Yeah.
I think so.
All right. So this was a third grader's homework, which, by the way, our kids start these things much younger than that.
At Liberty,
they get multiplication facts. So this was a third grader's homework assignment featured on the Today Show. Student wrote that the answer is 15 because of course they have to explain this. 5 plus 5 plus 5 equals 15. But it was, which makes sense, but it's still the long way to do it.
Sure.
But it was marked wrong because of the way the student arrived at the answer. It was marked wrong because the teacher indicated that the student should have also added the 5 threes together.
Oh, so you
this poor kid gets it wrong, even though it was right.
The answer's right.
Because they didn't do it
Because
the right way.
Back to what we talked about earlier, it's about process.
Right.
not the answer.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, when I listened to Milgram talk about this on video in, you know, leading up to this show, he talked about the fact that this used to be the way they did standards in math in California. And he said that the California process standards were absolutely horrible. And he said if the kids were in them for 4 years, they were practically lost for the rest of their educational career. So we're talking about, we've got to remind ourselves that these are kids. These are not guinea pigs. They are kids. And it's their education. They get one shot at it. And this is what they're being given. It makes me so frustrated to think of these poor children being subjected to this.
And Rebecca, I just want to add, it's the parents. It's the parents' responsibility to make sure that they get the best education for their child.
Yeah, ultimately
we
it
can't
is.
Blame
it
anybody
is.
Else.
And people are busy
it's true.
They have trouble knowing what's going on. And that's why we're here.
Right.
We're trying to help
that
people.
That is why we're here. And I think
aware.
A lot of parents are, you know, has stuffed that frustration down a little bit.
Yeah.
Their kids come home from public school with the math problems and they think, well, this is just the way it is and I'm going to do my best to help them. But we hear story after story of parents that are utterly confused.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they have a choice.
Yeah.
They can do something.
Yeah.
Right, right. You are right. I want to read you another one here because I find it, again, just incredibly confusing. In fact, I didn't look at it long enough to really figure out the answer. And this was for a second grade student. Number sense. Which subtraction sentences show you how to find 15 minus 7? And there's A.
What's a subtraction sentence?
I know.
Sorry.
And again, this is second grade. 15 minus 6 equals 9, comma 9 minus 8 equals 1. Or B, 15 minus 5 equals 10, comma 10 minus 5 equals 5. Or C, 15 minus 5 equals 10, 10 minus 2 equals 8. Or D, 15 minus 2 equals 13, 13 minus 2 equals 11. I'm going, why can't they just subtract 15 minus 7 and get the answer of 8?
I'm going to guess the answer is C.
Okay.
But the only reason I'm guessing the answer is C is because the end of the sentence is 8, which 15 minus 7
is 8.
Right.
Right.
That's probably the only reason.
You might be right.
It's only
we'll
because
see.
I knew how to do old math.
Right.
Well, and sadly, that is another piece of this that I find really sad is that they have to put together. I've got examples of like three different what they call parent cheat sheets that these teachers have created to send home with the parents so that they can help their children with this ridiculously confusing math.
So, our viewers can't see this, but think of absurdity in front of you right now.
Yes.
Like, find the most absurd thing in the room, look at it, and that's what we're looking at.
Right. It's so sad. And they show these examples of, you know, a really standard, a standard algorithm, as Milgram would say, of adding, and they have four different ways of solving this simple math problem that you'd maybe do in second or third grade, 62 plus 26. You know, we would just all do the carries, right? And they have version 1, expanded form. Version 2, base 10 black symbols. Version 3, place value. Version 4, number line. And these kids have to know how to solve that in all these different ways, and they make no sense. And they have in the column that says old way is the standard way that we all learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Rebecca, I just really want to insert, we may laugh about how complicated this is and da-da-da. This is children's everyday experience in math.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if we're feeling frustration, they are feeling intense frustration.
Yes, and anxiety.
And if you'll allow me, indulge me to show you how we would do it at Liberty.
Please.
I would love to do that.
Sure.
So on a side note, as a teacher in a school like Liberty, it is joy. The children are joyful. They're excited to be there. And I'm telling you, as a teacher, that's a joy to teach in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a perfect place. But so one of the standards talks about decomposing numbers less than 10 into pairs more than one way.
Mm-hmm.
So here, if you'll picture with me a little five-year-old being assessed this way with Common Core on a computer, having to try to answer this.
We talked about the technology piece last week.
Stress,
check out on
the stress they're feeling, the stress the teacher's feeling. They're dealing with computer skills, those types of things. Now I'd like to bring you over to the hall way at Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few minutes before art class. Our wonderful Mrs. K is looking at 16 adorable kindergartners with their eyes wide on her, and she says, okay, kindies, let's decompose 10. But she doesn't use the word She says, show me two ways to show 7.
Mm-hmm.
And these little pudgy fingers raise up, and you see 2 and 5. And you see 5, and you see 3 and 4, and all sorts of different brands. And their eyes are huge and wide. And Mrs. K is looking, and she's assessing right there. It's done.
Right. She knows.
She knows.
Which ones?
You and can't put Mrs. K in a computer.
Right.
No, you can't.
You cannot, no matter how much data you collect.
No. And you have to trust the teachers that are able to assess them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the children left proud of themselves, excited to learn. And guess what? We have about 35 more objectives we can cover than what the Common Core covers.
See, isn't that amazing?
I'm glad you said that, Kathy, because in the break you talked about the joy, and that's what's lost. I had a friend of mine just tweeted at us as we go live here. He said, Common Core math doesn't inspire me to want to learn more, it makes me want to drink more.
Oh, no.
But that's the unfortunate result. And he's got three kids in school dealing with it right now.
Yep.
When you're talking about the excitement, though, and I see it at Liberty Classical Academy, too, when I visit as a father, my kid is one of those kindergartners in that
he's
class.
So cute.
He loves it.
He loves it.
And I'm seeing light bulbs go off every day. And he'll still have light bulbs with the old way.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's not old because it's bad. It's old because it's tried and true.
Exactly.
Those kindergartners, where they're at now, they're actually subtracting three numbers at a time.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
In kindergarten.
In kindergarten, because they have the confidence built in order to go deeper.
Yeah.
So it's just, you've got to lay that foundation. Otherwise, they think they're bad at math.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Well,
Great point. And that's the amazing thing,
is that this is not, the Common Core way is not helping these kids at all. It's really harming them
and setting
them up for a future of thinking that they can't do math.
Right.
It's too hard. They can't do it. It's too confusing.
Well, I can't do this math. There's one more example. I actually tweeted it out before the program on my Twitter account. Is this math? And it's how you add 26 plus 17 together, which is easily 43, but you break it apart in a word problem. Well, you're not supposed to call them word problems anymore.
Right.
The new language is math situation.
Situation. There we go. That's the new language. Exactly.
But take a look for an example. If you're not familiar with Common Core, go to my Twitter feed. It's at Pete Hegseth. Take a look at the problem. That's an example of what it looks like. You also find Liberty's Twitter handle and Rebecca's there as well. So follow us out, check it out, so you can watch and listen to more of these programs.
Very good. And I want to just hit up our next show next week. I really hope that all of our listeners will continue and join us next week when we are going to tackle the English language standards. We're going to have Kathy back, and we are going to be interviewing Linda French Bell, who is head of MAC, which is Minnesotans Against Common Core State Standards. And she's been doing this for three years, and she's a 25-year teacher, 2006 Teacher of the Year, and we are excited to have her joining us in studio or over the phone. We haven't even decided about that yet, but
we will have her on. This is your show, Rebecca, but that's what I love as a co-host, is to hear from experts.
Right,
you're an expert. Kathy, you've been doing this for 20 years. I see you in the classroom every day.
She's an amazing teacher, by the way.
She's a fantastic teacher.
Yes.
I'm going to make the shameless plug, Liberty Classical Academy, libertyclassicalacademy.org. Go there for all the podcasts of previous episodes.
Yes, you can find them on our website, and you can find them on Education's Nation's website as well.
We're wrapping up.
See you next week.